Last week we began the first in a series that I'm preaching on thriving under pressure, and we talked about how knowing that Christ rose from the dead and that we're going to live forever, that relieves the biggest pressure, the fear of death, and it gives us a hope and a perspective that really is foundational for all of our other blessings. And today we're looking at thriving under pressure and how to live, have God's boldness in a fearful time. And next week we're going to be looking at generosity and contentment in an age of greed. And we'll be going on from that. But we're in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and following. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. May these things that happen touch us. May we be bold by the power of the Holy Spirit in our day and age. I don't know if any of you are news junkies like me. I go to a doctor's appointment early. I don't worry about waiting because I've got my phone, and I can get scared right there in the doctor's office. A lot of the news, I don't know why good news doesn't make it to the top, and I don't know why I take so much time to read scary news. But there's all sorts of scary things that I don't even read anymore because they've been published so many times. For instance, have any of you heard about there's a big volcano that might be under Yellowstone? Have anybody seen that? They say that over and over again, and it's kind of just get click. Is it clickbait or bait click? Clickbait. It's something that they act like it's imminent. Something's going to happen maybe on Tuesday. And you find out it last time it happened was 2 million years ago, and the next time it may happen maybe 4 million years from now. But it got you all excited. You got your heart going anyway. You knew you were alive. And there's so many things in the news that are upsetting, like inflation and all the gender issues, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And if it's possible, if you take all the news to heart all the time, that it would be impossible to obey the Lord's command. Oh, he's got such a hard command. You know which one I'm talking about. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say rejoice. We're supposed to be, as Christians, we're supposed to thrive under pressure and live a joyful Christian life even when hard things are hard. Even when there are fearful things on the news, and even when there are fearful things in our life, and fearful things come to all of us at some time in our lives. Now, the background, I could have started with the second chapter of Acts and read right through to here because it's all part of the background. I could go back to the change made in Peter by the Holy Spirit, because you remember on the night Jesus was betrayed, Peter said, Lord, I'll go to death for you.
I'd gladly go and die. I'll be arrested for you. I'll do whatever. I'm sticking with you. And Jesus said, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he did. He was scared of a little girl. This little girl around the campfire says, you're one of his disciples. And he said, no, not me. And we come to this time now where he stands up for Christ. Pentecost has come. They prayed for 12 days. They prayed for 40 days. And Pentecost had come. The Holy Spirit had come on the church. And Peter had preached his great message in chapter 2. And then chapter 3, it talks about Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. And there's a man sitting by the gate called Beautiful, who's lame. And he asks them for money. And Peter looks directly at him. And the man thinks, I'm going to get a gift. And Peter says, silver, we don't have any silver or gold. Which I think is interesting for anybody that teaches a prosperity doctrine. Peter should have been able to hand out $50 bills. But he says, I don't have any money. Silver or gold have I none. But what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And the man gets up and he goes walking and leaping and praising God. The crowds all come to see Peter and John, and Peter can't miss an opportunity. He says, why do you stand gawking at us like we were anybody special? It's Jesus, the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands healed before you today. And he preaches the gospel in the temple. And the authorities are there, and they hear that they're being blamed for Jesus' crucifixion. And they don't like the sound of Jesus' resurrection. You remember, they spent good money to repress the story of Jesus' resurrection. So they arrest John and Peter, and they keep them in jail overnight, and then they have them on trial, and they say to Peter and John, how is it that you did this miracle? And Peter says, if we're being called to account for a kindness done to a man, know that it was in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, that this man stands healed. And they are flummoxed because it's obvious it's a miracle. It's obvious everybody knew the man was lame. And so they put Peter and John outside. They say, what are we going to do? We've got to stop this. They're trying to stop Christianity in its tracks right there. And so they bring Peter and John back in and they say, we forbid you to talk anymore in the name of Jesus. They're trying to kill Christianity at its inception. And Peter said these great words, quotable words, you decide which is better, for us to obey God or to obey you. And that's a good, all by itself, that would be a message. We have times in our lives. Now, most of the time, we don't have a problem with obeying the authorities. I mean, most of the rules that come from the government don't go against God's principles. So sometimes we chafe at obeying the government. But there are times in our lives we have to understand when there's a choice we have between obeying God and obeying people. And Peter is changed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And John also, and they're threatened by the powers that be. And they go back and they have this prayer meeting that we read about. And they pray very fervently. They pray this prayer, such a prayer that the earth is shaken. And I just want to make this point. This fervent prayer doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not prayer for prayer's sake. It's prayer because they're under threat. It's prayer because the gospel is threatened. And if you want to have a fervent prayer life, then do some more witnessing. Stand up for Christ. Speak for Christ. Tell people of the love of Christ. And not everybody's going to like it. But you know, it's a biblical pattern that when you stand up for Christ, it affects positively, has a positive effect on your prayer life, because you're not just praying to hear yourself talk. It's not just a discipline that we do, though I believe in having a disciplined prayer life. But the most effective prayer is when we're really concerned about something. We want to see somebody healed, or we want to see the church blessed, or we want to see somebody saved. We want to see a dog found. We want something, and we know we can't do it. We've tried to do it, and we've looked everywhere we can. We can't find our keys, so we start to pray. I used to say, when I did my own mechanical work, God is very close to bad mechanics. And if you've ever done mechanical work on a gravel driveway, you know what a frightful thing it is to drop a nut in the gravel and to search all over the ground. You search, oh, where did I drop that? And you search. And then right underneath that car, you and God have a special time together. Lord Jesus, help me find that nut. Our prayer comes from our dependence on God for so many things. And even when we think, brothers and sisters, we've got it all sewn up, even when we think we've got all the boldness that we need to recognize that the really awesome things that will happen in our lives and through our lives are going to happen. Those things are going to happen when we include God in the plan and we ask Him for help. We need to pray and have a desire for opportunities to witness. We need to be able to speak when we're not sure how it's going to turn out. I thank the Lord for the risks that this church has taken. You know, it began a project like fixing the mill when we didn't have the money. And I thank the Lord and the people of this church for how amazingly generous they've been. Now, in this prayer, the prayer itself begins and ends its focus on God. He's the reason for the boldness that the apostles have as they pray. They say, oh God, may your name be lifted up through this answered prayer. They're concerned about the name of God. And they know it's the same God that called Adam in the garden and who called Abram out of Ur of Chaldees, and who called Moses to go back into the children of Israel. It's Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they're calling on. It's not a generic God or a God as you decide Him to be or one of 3 million Hindu gods. It's God the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He is the one that we pray to. And they remember... They remind themselves in the prayer that He's the Creator God. He has the power to perform those, to do the things that they ask Him to do. He made the heavens and the earth. He called all things into existence. And they are reminded. All you have to do is go through the Psalms or listen to Ariel's children's story this morning and how God shows Himself strong. And all the amazing things. I love the little thing where it said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the fireflies tell me so. Wasn't that? Haven't you ever felt that way? Noelle and I went out on the new parsonage. We moved in last summer, and we were all getting used to it and everything. We said, it's dark, let's go out on the back deck. We went out on the back deck, and all the trees were sparkling with fireflies.
And we praise the Lord. We did. We praise the Lord. And they remember that He is the God who is able. And if you're afraid or frightened, think of what He's done. In fact, they say, these people that are threatening us are the same people who, they're the same people who killed our Savior Jesus Christ according to your will. The worst that they could do, and you use the worst that they can do. And it was just a help in their faith to be reminded that God had it all sorted out from before the beginning of time. And God's not going to lose His reputation on us. We'll have troubles and we'll have trials. Jesus promised that. But He is faithful through all our troubles and through all of our trials. And when they pray, when they finish praying, the place is shaken. I've never been in a place where the building's been shaken. But the Holy Spirit comes on everyone, and I've been in places where the Holy Spirit comes on everyone. And it's an awesome thing. I pray that we, in this week, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, not so that we'll get material wealth, though God uses material wealth, but the power of God is not to be not for us, but it is to be used to bless others and to be able to testify to the goodness of Christ, that the peoples will know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we'll be a witness for Him, and that we'll not that we have to be a pain in everybody's neck, but that will sometimes be a pain in somebody's neck. It takes some courage to be a Christian. And it takes some boldness. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. One of the things I love about Jesus is He always knew when to speak and He always knew when to be quiet. It seems as though oftentimes I spoke when I should have been quiet and I was quiet when I should have spoken. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us when to speak, when to be silent, that we might be a faithful witness to Christ Jesus, that we may not worry when the news says the stock market's going down or inflation is going up or some politician that we don't like is coming to power or some politician we don't like that we do like is going out of power. That we be filled with hope in the glory of Christ, and that we be comforted by the Holy Spirit in our times of trouble, and that we encourage and challenge and comfort each other.